Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Happy Resurrection Day. You're awful quiet. I said, Happy Resurrection Day. It sounded like you needed a resurrection there for a moment. What a great first service, packed right out. We're going to pack this service out. Man, the presence of God is good. Amen. Wait till you see the presentations. They're just going to strongly move you in your spirit. And we're just so excited. We want to welcome Ithaca. Will be coming on with us live here in a little bit. We're going to welcome them. So when we do, make sure you give them a hand clap and welcome them as part of your family. 609 West Clinton Street in Ithaca is we started renovations this week. And I just want to give everyone who helped us, thank you so much. You were able to help up in Ithaca. We appreciate you. And thank you so much for helping. Tearing down a wall. This week, the rugs go in. They built an altar last week. Man, it's starting to look really nice. If you like to paint, I know that's just a strange thought, isn't it? But if you like to paint, we've got to paint that whole room. If you'd like to paint, maybe you have a paint spray gun, you'd like to help us. If you could give us a shout, that'd be awesome. We got to paint that entire sanctuary. And what's that? We're going to have a great time. So I just want to encourage you. So if you'd like to do that, also, honey, why don't you share with them about Friday night?
We want to invite you to Uproar is hosting a night for everyone this Friday night with Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. You are not going to want to miss it. God has been moving powerfully in his services. So make sure you all come out, bring people on Friday night for the Uproar night.
Amen. Are you ready to pray? Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you rose from the dead. We thank you, Jesus, that today we get to celebrate this as a special occasion. Lord, it's normal for us because we live in your resurrection power. But today we make a decision that we're going to shout for you. We're going to bless you. God, those that are unsaved in the room that don't know you as their Savior, move in their spirit, God. Draw them to you. Heal the sick. Encourage those that are struggling in Jesus' name for the glory of God. Anybody shout it? I said, everybody shouted, we love you.
Can I hear a big thank you, Jesus?
Thank you.
Isn't it great to know that you're in the house of Jesus this morning? Can you turn to the person next to you and say, you are absolutely brilliant. You know why? You're in God's house. When you're in God's house, the presence of the Lord will touch you and change you, minister to you, encourage you, heal you, set you free. Can you tell somebody else, you are brilliant. Amen. On your way back to your chair, why don't you welcome five or six folks you don't know and tell them, you are brilliant. Come on, go meet somebody you don't know. Get your cameras ready. Service. Hi, everybody. Hi, is it? Hi, hi, guys. How's everybody doing? You guys doing good? Are you looking up? One of these might be the next Billy Graham. You just don't know. Is anybody excited to sing? Yeah? Are you gonna sing real loud? Not gonna sing real loud? Okay. Are you ready to hear the children minister? I can't hear ya. Come on, let them know you're excited to hear them this morning.
Jesus is alive. One, two, three. Jesus.
Come on, give him a standing ovation. You know as well as I do, if you were up here, you'd be peeing and puking. You'd be all scared. The next future leaders of His Tabernacle Family Church. Come on, give another hand clap. Thank God for them. Beautiful dress, by the way. Very beautiful. Isn't it great seeing the kids do ministry? Susan, if I could have you come on up here, please. Has everybody met Susan? Susan has been over our children's ministry. She travels an hour and a half to work every single day. Amen. So can you give her a hand clap this morning and say thank you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you welcome Pastor Rhonda as she comes?
What a great day to be in the house of the Lord and to honor our King for everything that He's done. Pastor and I watched The Passion of the Christ last night, and it's just so completely overwhelming to see that kind of love and that kind of gift for us. John 3:16, we all know, says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God gave His best and Jesus gave His all. So we get the opportunity today to honor Him in our giving. And in the Word of God, it says that the tithe is holy unto the Lord. And the tithe, the word tithe, simply means 10%. 10% of what we bring in is holy to the Lord. And we get to honor Him today with our tithes and offerings. We get to honor the one that gave His best to us. What a privilege to be able to participate in that. So if you're ready this morning, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration from the Word of God. This is the Bible. It's found in Deuteronomy 28. And today, as you say this with me, I want you to realize how, with the power that you get to say this, is the price that He paid on the cross wasn't just for nothing. The price that He paid actually sets us free, actually gives us abundant life, actually sets us up for prosperity and blessing and favor. So as you say this morning, I want you to say it with such confidence as we're recognizing on today and every day the price that He gave. But let me hear you say this today with a confidence in knowing that what He paid for on the cross was for us today. So repeat after me, Deuteronomy 28. It says, if I obey, I am blessed going in. Cross.
Praise the Lord. What a great day. How many of you are glad Jesus Christ rose from the dead? You know, what's amazing is all these other religions, their God's still in the grave. But our God rose from the dead. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, it takes a lot of faith to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And actually, it doesn't take a lot of faith. I'd encourage you, if you like to study and prove that the Bible is true, there's a great book. It's called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. You know, there's more written about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, documented, than any other person in all of history. And it was also through eyewitness accounts. Over 500 people saw him after he died and rose from the dead. 500 people. You know what's amazing is colleges who don't want to yield to the Holy Spirit, their belief system in the reason why that could not have occurred, or it did occur, they all saw him, but it really wasn't the resurrected Christ, was because it's called the hallucination theory. That means they were all on the same mushroom at the same time, and all were stoned and saw the same vision. That's how they all saw Jesus, the 500 witnesses. Now, how many of you know that takes a lot of faith to believe that? The other one was really cool. It's called the swoon theory. This is my favorite. The swoon theory is that Jesus went through all the torture, all the torment, which is proven through historians that, like Josephus and Eusebius, which were non-believers. They were Jewish historians. What was interesting was they said that Jesus, even after his pericardium was pierced and he died on that cross, that he actually didn't die. He just passed out. He got mummified with about 100 pounds of aloe and myrrh, and then was put in a cold grave with a 4,000-pound stone rolled in front of it. Then there were 16 Roman guards on the outside guarding. Now, what happens if a Roman guard lost one of the people they were guarding? They would actually be executed, burned alive with their whole family. So the swoon theory says this, that here's Jesus. He's passed out now. He's been beaten to a pulp. You know, he's been stabbed through the heart. He's not really dead, just passed out. He's all been mummified. And on the third day, he somehow pulls out his MacGyver knife, cuts his way free from being brought. He was actually mummified from the feet to the armpits, arms straight down from his fingers to his neck, and then his head was separately done. So somehow he did that. He got out of that. And then with all the wounds that he had, he slowly rolled the 4,000-pound rock uphill from the inside. And all the Roman guards were sleeping, and he tiptoed through them so that they didn't catch him. It's called the swoon theory. How many of you know that takes a lot of faith to believe that? So I want you to know that believing in the resurrection of Jesus is very simple, very easy, because so many eyewitnesses and so many accounts of him, through even Jewish historians, have marked the resurrection of the Savior. We want to give a welcome to the Ithaca Church. If you'll give a shout to them and say, welcome. We welcome you, our family. We know that you're there. We're right up there on Clinton Street right now in Ithaca. And we just want to say thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to show you some great drama and minister to you. So are you ready for the drama ministry? You are going to be so blessed this morning. So can you give a hand clap to His Tabernacle's drama ministry?
I'm trying to remember why I was created, or at least that's what I would like you to believe, because amnesia sounds a lot better than just plain ignorance. Well, even ignorance is defined as a lack of knowledge. See, I'm just faking it, pretending as if I don't know when really I do. I felt less than what my designer thought was best, so I suppressed who he supernaturally intended me to be. No lie, I got relaxed. Then I combined by weaving a little bit of his will with a whole lot of mind. So how do I look? I think I look good. Sure, it's not his original design, but I got time to change and fix any minor things that might lack. I mean, it's not like he's coming back tomorrow. Seriously, how long have we heard that these are the last days? It's the same old song. Now, is it just me, or do these last days seem to be lasting kind of long? I know I'm not perfect. I've had so many I couldn't count my falls, Niagara. Instead of responding to his call, I'd rather schedule him, Viagra. Whatever's wrong, I know that he can heal. But I want the cattle on 1,000 hills with the ability to still grab the wheel while grasping onto my own will like Jacob to Esau's hill. My love is based, and his love is based, on how I feel. He loves me. He loves me not. Like pulling petals off flowers. I mean, yes, he's coming back, but no man knows the day or the hour.
Where have you been?
I've been at the altar waiting for you to repent.
What happened?
I've lost weight. Yes, I wanted to look good for you, so I haven't been eating my daily bread.
Bread of heaven is who I am. But it's scary. I give you loaves of my word, but you get by with the crumbs of commentaries you needed.
I needed a makeover. No one was attracted to me, so I dressed up the gospel. Stayed silent, seeing sin, saturate sanctuary, shadowing sight with smoky eyes, because you know... you are love.
No, I am your cover, girl. I make up for your lacks and deficiencies. I'm your very foundation. See, I blend with you perfectly. No need for a concealer, for I'm the revealer of all. Don't you remember when I tore your veil?
So, you saying you don't like my lashes? You don't like my
veil? Don't understand! You don't understand. I took lashes for your lashes. I took nails for your nails. But if I'm not gaining your heart, I'm just losing time. Because more than I want you to be outwardly beautiful, I need you to be mine.
Well, you're here now, so come on, let's just get on with the ceremony.
Knowing there would be nobody in attendance? You haven't even extended invitations, too excited about the reception and the gifts that you would get, that you forgot about my presence.
Presents, dollar dances, I take quarters, nickels,
the world can keep their dimes. Pieces of silver don't impress me too much. Don't you dare forget what happened to Judas.
You just failed to see that I changed. I admit, I grew distant and lost sight of you, the absolute value. Missing the sign, so now at times with ignorance I cosign, unable to stay away from tangents, I thought I had the right angle.
Look. I know your heart has been broken, but if you can keep your eyes fixed on me, I can repair us, and we will no longer be fractions being dominated by denominations.
Yeah, I choose to say divided like Palestinian nations.
Yes, your fouls have been flagrant, but I'm positive that I'm the one for you, but we will equal nothing if you continue to be the negative one in this equation.
Can you sense my
frustration?
You are holy, so I have to impose what's legalistic, making appeals for what you already acquitted, obsessed with overruling your objection, purposely plucking purpose.
Professing prosperity, practicing pride, persecuting people persistently. And when you became the judge, you took away the saint's defense, and you silenced the miraculous testimony of my witness, so no one's ever convicted. Yet so many of my children are turned away from life because you condemned them with your death penalty sentence.
Well, not all of them.
Excuse me.
About their entrance. And the Lamb's Book of Life, some of the names you may have skipped. So with attendance, I stamped their wrists so they could get in. The VIP section, we don't address their sin, neither do we offend. Bouncers don't trip on those who abundantly give. Besides, all the praying grandmothers had a plus one on the list.
Okay, well, you go find them. And you tell them that they won't see me. just by visiting you routinely. Be the example. You need relationship with me. You are so much more than stained glass, pulpits, pews, and singers. Because if you really want to see my church, just look in the mirror.
You wanted me to be fine, right? Just perfect and eloquent? Well, this land seemed desolate and needed development. I exceeded your budget, so I withdrew from Tyre's Bank, continuing to remodel, staying culturally relevant. My girl Katrina called, said hurricanes and hard times came, and you didn't make yourself evident.
But I told you, I would never leave you or forsake you.
I hear you, but I had immediate needs.
Yeah, but I thought you would
wait for you.
Me. What happened to your ring?
My ring?
You don't remember the ring? When I called you out of darkness and into marvelous things, you wear it in you, not on you. That was my call, my mark, my spirit to remind you and your ex who you really belong to.
My ring, I pawned for money to get back to who I thought was my first love. He spoke to me with words so sweet. He waves, and I feel the sureness of my wrong decision, shifting my view. He wanted me to see Bree so I forget where the sun sets. Next, I was convinced I didn't need to repent for my sin, for he told me that he could wash me with the tide that was coming in. The weather was pleasant on the Atlantic surface, but as I got to his core, the temperature drastically changed. Yes, I contracted an STD. He burned me at about 9,800 degrees. He was my earth. He was my world. And I'm sorry to tell you, but there's more.
Well, did you think I wouldn't notice the symptoms and the signs? And the unexplainable cravings for sin of all kinds. You even had trouble sleeping.
Weeping may endure for the night, but joy didn't come with the morning sickness. So now in my pain, in my mourning,
I witness
me take the pill for the morning after, coincidentally located right next to my box of alabaster. I was too shameful to bring forth out a bastard.
Stirred lies of wicked men's tongues started deceiving you, then automatically placed the seeds of deceit in you, so when you were pregnant with falsehoods, it became impossible to conceive the truth.
The truth may be free, but I ran back to what I was comfortable with, being enslaved and mind depraved, but I'm sure you don't want me now. I'm not worth the price you paid.
They flogged me with whips that left my flesh stripped. They beat me with their instruments rhythmically, which caused my skin to bleed symphonies. I can still remember the hooks like a chorus, and those weren't just 66 letters. They were musical scores, so you and I would always be on one accord, for you to always have the right keys to my heart's doors.
I just wanted a sample, but I repeat sin like looping A bars. And at my own temple, I began to embark. Instead of following your instrumentation, I drowned out your heartbeat, a timpani. Your strings of harmonies, I ignored the woodwinds of your spirit. If your trumpet sound, I wouldn't hear it, or even the brass ring. Because I've laid tracks upon tracks of acapella so I could hear myself sing. Majoring in minor has left me scratched like broken records. Causing my life to stutter. I'm just a false instructor pretending as if I'm watching the conductor. I'm too unlawful to be your wedded wife, and I'll probably never recover.
My will was put to the test when I had to choose to escape glory and escape in glory, or bear torment on my flesh. You were the reason I clung to that old rugged cross like a child long lost. Mary, my own mother, couldn't even recognize her son's disfigured face. Me is who I gave you on the cross when it was finished. I told you I loved you. How much? I showed you. You call it crucifixion. I call it proposal. Will you marry me? You don't need a third party. You have direct access to me. And you won't even have to worry about remembering our anniversary because I've yet to find a calendar with a date marked for eternity.
I need your grace.
Grace and mercy is what I lavish upon. There's a recession of my presence. I supply the missing piece that your heart demands, and then
some cry over spilled milk. I weep over spilled blood.
Blood that cannot be measured in pints to count my love.
My love was contingent on what was instant. I knew I had to come to repentance.
Father, forgive them.
Me, they know not what they do. Oh, I'll get myself together. I'll clean myself
please,
up.
Please, please. Please. Allow me. I'm the only one who can make you clean.
Without spot.
Without wrinkle. Without blemish. Your bridesmaid's goodness and mercy will follow you. It is already finished. Very soon. Very soon. I'm coming back for you. Though I called many. I'm coming back for you.
Will you be ready or not?
We see the story of Jesus going to the cross and everything seems to kind of be hand in hand. And then there's this one character that seems to interrupt the narrative. His name's Barabbas. We don't even know much about him except that he's a murderer, a leader of an insurrection, a rebel. And why he's even mentioned, sometimes I'm not so sure. It's like, what? This is about Jesus going to the cross. So in this moment, Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hand. I know the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, I will release one of the prisoners on death row. Pilate stands on this audacious stage who now presents Jesus, Son of the Living God, versus Barabbas, the thug and rebel. He says, all right, who do you want? This is blasphemy. This has gone too far. There's no comparison. This is a rightful prisoner, a man who should be on death row. He's a rebel against Rome. He leads a rebellion. He murders people. He's a bad man. He's a thug and he's a crook. He deserves the chains and he deserves the crucifixion. Jesus, what has he done but heal, restore, deliver, set free, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper? What has Jesus done? Who do you want? We want Barabbas. Yeah. Give us Barabbas. People say, give us Barabbas. The Roman soldiers come up and they put the key in and they unlock Barabbas from his chains and shackles. And he walks down the platform, welcomed by all of his thug friends. Yeah, the people love me. Yeah, that's right. I don't even know who this Jesus guy is, but all I know is my people love me. There seems to be no conscience in Barabbas. There's no record of him turning to Jesus and saying, I owe you everything now, for you have set me free. No, I don't see any of that in Barabbas. And God knew that. Jesus stood there, silent, for he knew the will of the Father. He said, it's fine, Father. Let him have Barabbas. For Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Barabbas thought it was the people that set him free. No, 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 no. It was the love of a heavenly Father. When I look at the story, I realize who Barabbas really is. That's me. That's you. That's us. And I felt, I was reading this the other day, and I felt God speak to me. I love Barabbas. I love him. But God, he's a bad man. I love him. And I wanted him to go free. But didn't you know that he probably would have never acknowledged the free gift? Yeah, but I love Barabbas. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his son for Barabbas. Even the one he knew would walk away from Jesus and his free gift and never come back. He loves him. And the nerve, the call, and the audacity of believers to think, I got saved by grace, but now that I'm in this deep, dark place of bondage, I better work hard to get myself out. What? That's the opposite of the gospel. Are you bound? Are you held under the power of this temptation, this sin? Do you feel like it's controlling you? What are you going to do? I'm going to shake myself free. Stop it! No, you won't! You're no match for the powers of hell and the urges of sin. You will not overcome it, and you will never overcome it. You'll just be another statistic. There's no answer within yourself. Your own merit, your own goodness, your own discipline, your own devotion will not save your marriage and will not save your kids. There's only one. And he's the one that took your place. He's the one that stood silently on the platform with Pilate and said, yes, let him have Barabbas. Take me. How many times have I stood on that platform with Pilate and Jesus, and I'm the Barabbas, and they start to take my chains off, and I say, no, no, I deserve this. I deserve the guilt. I deserve the shame. I deserve the consequence. I deserve it. Jesus seems to look at me and say, no, son, let me have it. Let me have your sin. Let me have your pain. No, God, I did it to myself. I deserve it. My marriage won't make it. This is what I deserve. I deserve divorce. I deserve poverty. I deserve sickness. I deserve it all. No! God, I'm so ashamed. Give me your shame. But God, what if I do it again? I'll still be here. Oh, God, I don't want to hurt you. I love you. I don't want to do this anymore. Give me your sin, son. This is all we got. It's all I got. It's all you got. We can play games. We can play church games. We can pretend like some people are better than others and that's why they're blessed, or we can all come to the honest conclusion that it's God. And it's God alone. The greatest challenge is not your discipline, your devotion, your focus. Your greatest challenge is believing the gospel. Could it be? that there's a God with a love so scandalous, so wide, so deep, so vast, so high, so expansive, so welcoming, so inclusive. Let me have your sin, son. Okay. And I give him my sin. And I stand in this empty space of forgiveness and acceptance while Jesus walks off to the cross that I deserve. I see him walking to the post to be whipped. As I stand a free man, all the attention is turned now. And I feel the love of God saying, go, son, live your life. I'll pay the price. When we get off thinking that we were gonna set ourselves free, it's still Jesus. It'll always be Jesus. It'll never stop being the power of Jesus. If his blood is sufficient for your salvation, his blood is sufficient to sustain you through every challenge and every sin and every temptation. Jesus is enough.
Hallelujah. Powerful. Powerful. It's amazing as Easter's come and Easter's go, there are some that will just grab your spirit Today, God loves you so much. We all know the verse. We all know the verse says, that is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The scripture is so very clear, and I just want to talk to you real quickly about a verse. And it's when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he made a declaration. It is finished. You know, when you look at that verse, it sees and shows that Christ at that very moment gave up his last breath. But at that moment, there were three different viewpoints, three different sets of glasses that people were seeing through. The first set was people of the flesh, people that Roman guards that beat him to a pulp, mothers and daughters and fathers that were in the streets of Jerusalem when he was carrying his cross up through. They might not have even known who he was. Was he just another criminal that was getting ready to be punished? Others were the Sanhedrin, the religious people of the day, as they're cheering on as the Messiah, the one who they claimed was not the Son of God, was on his way to death. You see, so many of us look through the eyes of flesh. There are some that are in this room this morning. You've been seen through the eyes of flesh. When we talk about Christ, you hear it, but you can only see through the eyes of just the natural realm. You don't see who Christ truly is. You don't recognize that when he declared it was finished, you just thought, well, that's a good religious leader that died. He was a nice guy. You see, when you look through the eyes of the flesh, all you can see is a man dying on a cross. But there was another set of eyes, another viewpoint that is recognized. That's the viewpoint of hell. You see, the devil has so desperately desired to become God of this world. He wants to be your God. He desires to be your Lord. Isaiah chapter 14 says that when he was one of the archangels, that he made a declaration, I'm going to raise myself up above God. I'm going to set a throne above him. And God cast him down. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, this is what he desperately desired. You see, God gave Adam and Eve dominion, the right to rule on this planet. But what happened was in Genesis chapter 3, they decided to listen to the devil. They decided to give over their dominion. They decided to give over their loyalty, and they decided to sin. They decided to break the law of God. At that moment, the Bible says that Lucifer was given, at that moment, he was given the right to then have dominion. He's called the God of this world. Now you see, when the devil saw Jesus on the cross, when the devil heard, it is finished, all hell started just rearing up with excitement as they recognized that they did it. They killed the Messiah. They killed the sent one. They killed the anointed one, the one that came to save his people from their sins. They were so elated that Christ had died on the cross, thinking that they had actually won the victory. Oh, it's not just victory to the devil. Because remember what his job is, to steal, kill, and destroy. Remember what he loves to do is he wants to take you to the lake of fire with him. He longs, because we've been created in the image of God, to separate us from the one who says, I call you father. I call you sons. I call you daughters. I call you family. The last set of eyes, the viewpoint, is heaven. This is the one that is so exciting. Because when Christ, the Christos, the Messiah, was on that cross, his arms extended, his body beaten down, it looked from the flesh like there was no hope. It looked like the flesh, it was all over. It looked to the devils that they'd actually won. But heaven, the moment Christ declared, it is finished, and he took his last breath, all of heaven started to cheer. All of heaven out shouted all of hell. Why? Because the Messiah, the one who came to save his people from their sins, had paid the price, the lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth. See, in the old covenant, the sins were covered. But in the new covenant, what Christ paid for was so that you and I could have our sins washed away and thrown as far as the east to the west, and he remembers it no more. Man, there's no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for a friend. Jesus, when he extended his arms and took that last breath, hell said finished, but heaven says it's just begun. It's just begun. Now those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. You see, this is not about religion. This is not about joining a church. This is not about joining a denomination. This is not about joining a movement. This is about joining a family. God so desperately desires to have a family, and he's called and given us the right because of the victory of the Son at the finish line was actually not the stop, but the begin. Today, you and I have the greatest opportunity to begin. Like I said, some of you have been looking through the eyes of flesh for so long. You came today to shut somebody up finally. You came today because maybe you felt obligated. You at least do Christmas and Easter. Maybe today it's pacification, placating your own emotion. But no matter what the scenario might be, maybe you were hurt 20 years ago in church and I just don't do that church thing anymore. I don't know what your scenario is, but it's time to take your eyes off the flesh. It's time to let the devil know he's already been defeated. Can I hear an amen? You see, when Christ declared that it is finished, it began. What happened was this, that the moment he died on the cross, the Bible says he went, and in Ephesians chapter 4, preached captivity to the captives. There was a place called Abraham's bosom. It's where all the righteous went. But you see, they could not go into the presence of God because their sins were only covered by the blood of lambs and sheep and so on and so forth. But when the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundations of the earth, when Jesus Christ gave it up, when Christ finished the work, he then covered those people with the blood that he gave. And then to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That was his first stop. Do you want to know what his second stop was? His second stop was he went down to hell. You see, the very first prophetic word in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And it says this, that Jesus, or he would bruise the head of the serpent. When Jesus Christ went to hell, according to Revelation chapter 1, he put his foot on the devil's head and said, give me those keys back. You have no more right. You have no more power. Death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? You see, when you go from death to life, when you step into the eyes and the viewpoint of eternity, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, death no longer has a sting because you have eternity. This is a short stop, but your purpose is eternal. Can I hear an amen? See, it's all how you see. It's all how you see. It is finished. How do you see? What is your viewpoint? Is he just your stopover to feel better? Or do you have a relationship with God? He's desperately after you. All the other religions of the world, you got to chase after their God. This one, he's chasing after you. For you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So today I'd like to take communion with you. Everyone should have a communion cup. If you don't, if you just raise your hand, the ushers are coming quickly. Very good. If you don't have a communion cup, very good. Just raise your hand up. People are coming quickly right now. If you don't have a communion cup, just raise your hand quickly. They're coming fast, very fast. They're sweating. They're moving so quickly. Right behind you, there, guys. In the front section. We have an extra one. Don't worry, brother. We'll get you one. You got one? Awesome. Anybody else didn't get one? Very good. Gentleman on the side over there. Very good. Everybody have one? You see, what I love about Jesus is that he has never been about religion. He's never been about religion. Here's a really cool thing is, when you know, we start talking about the Last Supper, the mindset that we always get is that picture. Y'all know that's not true, right? They didn't sit at a table and have the Last Supper. Because Jesus was about family. They actually were laying on the floor, head to chest, all the way in a big circle. And the food was in the middle. And they actually double dipped. You know that's love. And Jesus said, I want to celebrate something that you don't really even gonna, they didn't get it, by the way. They didn't really realize what was going to happen. And he said, this piece of bread is my body, which is broken for you. You see, what I love about Jesus is that on the cross that he died on, he didn't just pay the price for your sins and my sins to be forgiven, but he paid the price for our sicknesses and diseases to have to leave our bodies. By his stripes, you were healed. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives every sin and heals every disease. See, the church isn't preaching the whole gospel. We do here because I refuse to stand before a holy God and say I'd only preach half. The reason for the cracker, the reason for the bread was to make the declaration of what he did on that Calvary. We watched it here. It was sealed through the tomb so we can enjoy it today. See, if there's sickness in your body, it has no right. Turn to someone and say, no sickness has a right in your body. That's the truth. It's a trespasser. Disease has come, and if it's in your body, then you need to look at it exactly the way it is. You do not belong. You are already paid for. Get out. Well, you know, it's just the way it is. My mother had it. My daddy had it. My great-grandpa had it. Well, then you keep it. But the last I knew, he paid for it. Amen? So Jesus, tonight, today, Father, we thank you so much that by your stripes we were healed. Lord, if there's sickness and disease in this room, we curse it at its very root. You foul spirits of infirmity, when we step forth in faith and receive, that God will drive out right now every sickness and disease that's in this room. Lord, you did it for 2.5 million people when they left Egypt. What is so hard about a few hundred? We command right now in Jesus' name, as we partake together, that sickness, disease, and spirits of infirmity are broken. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Let's partake together. He then picked up the cup. He said, this is the blood of the New Testament. This is not the blood of Jesus. This is very nasty grape juice. Just what it is. But it reminds us of what he did. You see, this whole adventure that Christ stepped into was for one reason, and that is for you. Can you turn to someone and say how you're special to Jesus? That's right. He wants to wash your sins away. You can't earn it. You'll never be good enough. I've got great news for you. You'll never be good enough for God. Phew. You can never earn it. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Do you want to know what it is? He says, if you'll receive me, I'll come in, I'll fix you from the inside out, not the outside in. It's really cool because the price he paid was so powerful. The Roman guards punched him in the face so many times that his face was irrecognizable. They reached up and they grabbed his beard and they pulled it out of his face. Open wounds. They spit on him. Oh, Christ. They took a, like a cat of nine tails with balls of lead and pieces of glass, and they started whipping his back to the place where they say scientifically that realistically you could see his bowels from the exterior. That means you could see his ribs. You could see his intestines from the outside. And every time the whip came down, he said, "That's for Bob. That's for John. That's for Julie. That's for Jennifer. That's for Pat. Every one of our names." They put a robe on him, a crown of thorns on his head, and a big reed in his hand, and they started mocking him. "Okay, King of Kings, if you're really the King of Kings, then deliver yourself. Oh, we bow down. We pay homage to you." They mocked him. They then stripped the robe off his back and threw a cross on his shoulder. As he carried it through the streets, people were kicking, laughing, sneering. 7-inch spikes were driven into his hands and into his feet. And he only hung there for one reason. The blood was only shed for one reason. Because we'll never be good enough, but he's willing to pay the price to buy us back. Jesus loves you. You can fight anything. Thank you. You can fight anything you want, but hear me now. Jesus genuinely loves you. Greater love has no man than this. He laid his life down just for you. Messed up? Oh my goodness. How many of you have messed up? How many of you are messed up? "I've gone too far, Pastor." Stop looking with the eyes of the flesh. "Well, Pastor, I'm not interested." You need to start looking with the eyes of the Spirit. Because eternity is today. It's today. This is the day. So the blood that this represents is not cheap. It's very expensive. Very powerful. Today, if you're smeared with sin, just know he'll wash you clean with his blood. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not going to ask you to, listen, we don't have church membership here on purpose. But if you want to become part of the family of God, he wants to wash your sins away. Could I have you bow your heads for just a second? Don't drop your cup, but we're coming to it. "Well, I'm not interested." I'm sorry. I pray you will be quickly. We live in a world that is more unstable now than we've ever seen before. Yet the church still plays its games. We are so close to North Korea pushing a button, and with one button, the United States changes. "Oh, well, we can shoot it out of the air." You might be able to shoot it out of the air, but ours are going. Once ours go, the whole world goes mayhem. If you've lived any more than 10, 15, 20 years, you know that we don't control our life. In one moment, our life can change in a millisecond. You were stable 1 second. Now everything has changed. Your car, your house, your family, someone's died. You never thought they'd die. Eternity's close. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to scare the hell out of you. But I want you to truly understand this, that Jesus loves you. This I know. When you accept the love of Christ, it will change you from the inside out. And today, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I'd just like you to slide your hand up. Just real quickly, if you'd like to receive the Lord, just slide your hand into the air. Thank you. Is there anyone else? There's more. I know there's more. Thank you very much. Put it right back down. Let's do it this way. In your bulletin, there's a decision card. But I want to pray together, if we could do that. Can you pray with me? Maybe you've known the Lord for many years, but maybe you just need to rededicate your heart. Maybe you've never, and this is your moment. If you bow your head, let's all pray together. Pray right out loud. Dear Jesus, oh, come on, all together. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on that cross. Thank you for paying my penalty. Thank you, Jesus, for paying my price. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I receive your sacrifice. I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. I thank you, Jesus, that you rose from the dead, and that today, this moment, my life is changing from the inside out. I don't want religion. I want you, and I receive you. In Jesus' name, I'm never going back to the world. There's nothing there I want. I've already learned if it could fix me, it would have. I want you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now take that cup, which represents forgiveness, and start thanking him right now. Let's receive it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you, Lord, for making us new people. I'm going to have Mindy come on up here. What I'd like to do is that if you raised your hand or you prayed that prayer and it's the very first time, or maybe you're far from God, you want to get right with the Lord and you prayed that prayer, I want you to bring your decision card with you at the end of service and meet me right up here with Mindy. We want to give you a Bible. You know, we don't want to just get you started. We want to get you to the finish line. And that is relationship with Jesus. That's what the resurrection paid for, the power to get the job done. Amen? I said amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, we thank you so much for Resurrection Sunday, that God, you're not dead, but you are alive. Thank you, Jesus, that you rose from the dead and took the keys of death and hell. Thank you, God, that you gave the power over sin to us. No longer are we empowered, oh God, to just survive, but we have been empowered to thrive. So, God, we give you all the honor and all the glory. Bless our family today. Lord, let us share the gospel with somebody today. And, Jesus, bring us all back next week so we can celebrate to the next level and grow in you. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted. I said everybody shouted. We love you. Have an awesome day. Enjoy the animals. Don't forget, come on up here with me with Mindy. We want to get you a Bible, pray with you, encourage you.